I would love 10, 5, and 2.
Okay, take it away, An. Thank you.
Hi. It's really nice to be speaking here because this meeting is the only meeting I've ever attended in person. I'd say this is like my home group meeting. It's near and dear to my heart. And I'm on the East Coast, actually, but I spent a bunch of time in LA over the past winter, which I'll get into. And I'm so grateful to be back here and seeing your lovely faces. I try not to do late night meetings. This is late for me, not for most everyone else. So it's really nice to see you again. And it's nice to be able to share my story with so many familiar faces. Very cool to see you guys again. So let's see, I will start. Well, I'll give you a quick intro into how and when I got into SLA and how I ended up in California for a brief but lovely period of time, which was that. So I'm married, and last summer, 5 years of relational strife came to a head, and I was basically spending my days squatting outside in the dirt, chain smoking cigarettes, so stressed, and conflict ridden that I wasn't eating. And, finally, after 5 years of relational crisis, started seeing a CSAT, certified sex addiction therapist, who was immediately like, "You're a sex addict. You need to join SLA." And about 2 weeks later, I was totally in. I was like, "Yep, that's me." I had actually stumbled across the model of sex addiction a couple months prior to that, but had kind of rejected my identification with it because I thought I was, you know, if I had been an addict, then I was so far into recovery that it didn't apply to me anymore. So I don't have to look any further. And that was the anorexia in me being like, "Hey, no, you're totally fine. No, that this doesn't apply to you because you're not acting out." But just a few weeks after first attending SLA meetings, I decided that I needed to extricate myself from my life at the time and seek inpatient treatment. So I did seek treatment in Arizona. And after that, that was last August. After that, I went to California. Which is where I met some of you, which I'm very, very grateful for. So I've technically been in SLA for a year, almost. But I'd say I really, really joined SLA kind of wholeheartedly in December when I finally got a sponsor. So it's been a long process for me. And just so you know, I'm enthusiastically on step 4 right now, which is what I'm going to try and focus a lot of my talk, my share on, because I'm loving it and it's really hard and I want to get through it, but I want to do it well. So to step back 36 years, I'm an only child. I grew up in a, you know, materially taken care of with a materially well-off family and emotionally unattuned parents. And other times when I've led, I've gone on a bit more about my upbringing, but what I really love about SLA is that it hasn't necessarily helped me put that my childhood to bed, but I really like to focus on my lane now, and that lane doesn't include necessarily the whole history of my childhood and how and why I am the way I am, because I can't change that. So that's the story. It's probably familiar to a lot of you, or it comes up in a lot of shares, which is, yeah, like I missed out on emotional development growing up. And what I will say is that I probably, the first signs of addiction were rearing their heads probably in middle school, but really in high school when I started to be boy crazy. And I was reading through my journals actually this past winter as part of a formal disclosure I did with my husband, which is a whole other can of worms, but it involved me digging through my entire life in a way that I never wanted to do. Once I realized that I was an addict and I started looking back on my history of acting out, I did not want to go deep. You know, I wanted to like count on fingers and shove it all in the closet and say, yeah, I know I did it. But I found myself going through all my emails that I've ever sent and my diaries, which I knew were going to be uncomfortable, but it was extraordinarily painful to hear my own voice over time and to see my disease kind of really written in my own words throughout my life. And when I was 14, I had my first kiss, and I don't even remember it. I found it in a diary. And what was striking to me about it is that I wrote, you know, I had a crush on him for so long, but he moved across the country and now he lives in California. So there's no fear of commitment, or like, no, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about commitment. I was 14 and I'd had my first kiss. And what I talked about to myself in my diary was that I didn't want anything to come of it. So I have been an addict and an anorexic from a very young age. And the addict part was, of course, seeking validation that I didn't get from my parents. And the anorexia was just not being able to be intimate with myself, not being able to admit to myself what was happening for me, good or bad, and never wanting to be, refusing to ever be vulnerable to anybody, and thinking at the same time that that was a superpower, which kept me stuck in a really confusing push-pull battle with other people and also myself. So before coming to SLA, I mean, I can't change it now. I am a liar, right? I'm a secret keeper. I'm a cheater. I'm invulnerable. I'm walled off, and I'm proud of it. Right? That's been my whole life. And this mountain of secrecy was so big that I didn't even realize that the stories I told other people about who I was as a person weren't based on reality at all. Like, I had a narrative of myself. I thought before coming into this program that I knew myself and that I was a good person. And I was a freaking bull in a china shop. I was so reckless with other people's lives, their emotions, their bodies, really. I'm one of those people that's, you know, I'm arrogant and I'm insecure, right? And there is some way that I got away with it for a really long time because I never stuck around to take responsibility for the disasters I made in friendships or relationships with people. I'm also an achiever, which is, you know, so part of my addiction, the way I know it now, or my disease, is that I don't know how to be okay with myself. I don't know how to really, I don't know how to live in alignment with my values. That's been a huge problem for me. And it's amazing to me how far I stepped over the line in terms of my values while defending myself as a good person with integrity for years. You know, when I was in active addiction, I never sat down to be like, oh, here are my values. I value honesty. I value following through on the things I say I'll do. I value loyalty. I value transparency. I thought I had values and I thought I was a good person. And I couldn't tell you what values I lived by at all, except for maybe I'm a compassionate person, except in all these situations. So
that's 10 minutes.
Thank you. But I was also an achiever. So I learned to feel good about myself by getting the right education, getting the right career, getting accolades, and then getting validation from men. But I didn't know how to, I'm still learning how to validate myself and my own experiences, and even just to name what my experience is and how it feels. So without achievement and without external validation, I was a lifeless puppet. And it sounds like I really didn't know how to be or what my voice was anymore. And the last year has been a major struggle or like disorientation in finding a voice that's real, that's authentic. Because I walked around for most of my life like I had a lot of confidence. I've faked it left and right. And then without my achievement, like I'm in a different place in life where I'm not, you know, I'm not in graduate school anymore. Nobody's giving me an A in life. So I have to decide that for myself. And that's a responsibility I never wanted to have. Same thing with my sexuality and knowing who I was sexually or intimately. Like, I need somebody else to tell me my value. And if I'm disappointing to you, if I'm letting you down because I'm being unintimate or I'm lying and keeping secrets, that's like the narcissism and my addiction, my neediness and my codependence. Like it's hard for me to be disappointing to you. I take that really hard. So that's before working the program, before working the steps, I just remember in 2014, New Year's Eve, realizing like, well, how come every year on New Year's Eve for the last countless years, I've thought maybe next year will be better. Like, I just remember that feeling of like, God, you know, maybe next year life will be better to me. Right? That's like, I still couldn't at that point in my life. I knew I was unhappy. I knew something was wrong, but I really thought that it was up to the world to fix it for me, to be fixed for me. Like somehow I'll be happier. Somehow things will just magically change, probably if I find the right relationship, right? Or the right job. And then skip forward to 2023. I'm married and all of this for 5 years, all the secrets that I tried to keep about who I had been sexually, who I had been intimately, that I had lied to my husband, to everyone, that I had cheated on boyfriends, that I intrigued with, you know, like there are messages that I had to look through, I had to read through my own, like, intriguey messages to girlfriends when I'm objectifying men and talking about like the hot guy at the liquor store. Like, I don't remember who that was, but it was like breathing to me, like intrigue, validation, objectifying men. It was just normal to me. And my marriage is really the first attempt I've ever made to be intimate. And I honestly didn't know at the beginning of our relationship that I had so many secrets or that intimacy requires. I still get to have autonomy, but I don't get to have secrets. They don't get to just hide parts of me. I can say, I'm allowed to say I don't want to talk about something, but I don't get to hide it. I don't get to have secrets. And so for 5 years, there's been a drip, drip, drip of, oh yeah, I guess that is me. Oh yeah, I guess I am a liar. you know, I have to admit it. And I won't talk too much about the status of my relationship, but just to say that in being somebody who's been a liar and a cheater and a betrayer and totally unintimate, all of my character defects make it so easy for me to play the victim. And that's really what SLAW is giving me, is the freedom from my own victimhood. And at the core of my depression, my anxiety, and really my loneliness in life has been, it is a total, a spiritual sickness where I'm so kind of lost at sea by myself that I need the external world to fix it all for me. And I never wanted to take responsibility for myself, for being an individual, for having my own feelings, for having my own intentions, for having my own role and responsibilities towards other people in life. And I had a deep spiritual sickness. Like I don't know how else to put it other than my soul felt sick and I couldn't even recognize it. And I'm only on step four now, but I feel such freedom every day in naming my defects because finally I see myself. And I'm far enough along to not just wade in my pool of self-loathing. Because I also know that thinking that, you know, I'm especially bad or especially pitiful is just my pride and also like another form of my arrogance. So every day I get to wake up and just now I notice that the resentments that I've had towards my husband in particular, but even towards people that I didn't even think were significant, right? Resentments towards colleagues, even. I'm like, oh, that's not a big deal. And then my sponsor is like, let's just talk about that for a couple minutes. And I realize, I'm insecure about my job performance. I'm insecure about, I'm entitled, right? I'm entitled to, you know, a bigger role in the company, blah, 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 blah. And there's such freedom in realizing that I bring my own toxicity to my life experience. Like, thank God, right? Because I can't change the world. I can't even change my husband. But I don't have to feel that, like, I know when I'm in my addiction, I'm in my disease, when my chest starts tightening and I feel like a rising of impatience. Like, that's not me. I don't want to feel that way. There's my resentment again. And I don't have to live that way. So I'm so grateful that I've made it this far. I know that, like, for me, showing up to meetings and hearing other people speak was the beginning of my path, but working the steps I know is not only the only way kind of through my suffering, but it is an inevitable way through my suffering. If I just keep going, I know that change will come. Thank you. And serenity will come. I feel it sometimes here or there. And you know, hope is essential. So I did more than 90 and 90. I still go to 5 meetings a week. I did want to share. I'm working the steps with a sponsor. I am part of a step study group and we've made it so far. We've met every week, haven't missed a single week since December of last year, which is awesome. We work really slowly. I also have a somatic coach who helps me identify physically what my emotions are. And it's unbelievably helpful to spend time with my wounded child and my, you know, angry teen. It's life-changing for me to recognize what I need and take care of and love myself. I always thought that love was like this explosive, intoxicating feeling rather than kind of a gentle tending to. And now I can gently tend to myself and I'm starting in ways to tend to my relationship as well. So I see that I have 1 minute left. I guess that's really all I wanted to share. It's just that for me, my experience, like the gift of SLA thus far has been seeing a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of a really deep spiritual sickness. And feeling like I can't talk to God. I don't even know what a relationship with God would look like. To now knowing I have my own relationship with God, it's inconsistent, it's up and down like any other relationship, and that's okay. That's great, actually, because I'm aware of it. But that taking responsibility for myself and not being so angry at the world. Like I'm an addict, I'm emotionally mature. Taking responsibility is the best thing I've ever done. and really, really hard. So I'm so grateful for all of you for showing up and for going through this with me, because it's lonely, and seeing your faces here makes it all the difference. Thanks for letting me share. Oh, and I was gonna pick a topic. Thank you. And this came up in my email today. The topic I want to put out there is differentiation. And I'll just read quickly what that is. I'll read the first little sentence of this thing, which is, human beings have a paradoxical need to be affiliated with others while simultaneously maintaining a sense of independence. That's really important for me and difficult as a sex and love addict. So that's my topic. Thank you.